You're listening to Stephanie and Fox, where we aim to educate, enlighten, and evolve your intimacy.
You can find us at stephanieandfox.com to learn more about counseling, self-study courses, and retreat services that we provide.
This show contains adult content about relationships, intimacy, and sex, and is meant for those 18 years and older.
Now please, sit back, listen up, and get ready to evolve your intimacy. Hi guys, this is Stephanie coming to you from Stephanie and Fox. I am, again, solo. Fox is out of town, and so I did so good on the last one by myself, so I thought I'd do it again. Tonight, I have a very special guest with us. We have a friend of ours that we met while we were traveling in Jamaica, and we kind of connected with this person on a very deep level. This person is amazing. Her name is Melissa, and Melissa, words just can't describe Melissa. It's so very hard to describe how encompassing she is. And so when we got to meet her and we got to fall in love with her and just hear her story, we had to bring her on and introduce her to you guys. So I'm going to bring Melissa on, and I want you to tell us who you are and tell us a little bit about just your academy and everything that you do, because it's so interesting. I don't even know where to begin with you.
Okay, sure. Hi, everyone. My name is Melissa Binkley, and I am the founder of the Intuitive Intelligence Academy, which is the world's leading school for spiritual trauma healing. And so we share a process that's based on quantum physics and neuroscience. We have the science behind it, but also ancient wisdom traditions and psychology that really helps people to heal at a core level. That's like my professional title. I've spoken at conferences and events all over the world. I've been on stages with some of the biggest spiritual leaders. I run a docu-series that's reached over 1 million people that's called Quantum Miracles Mastery, about how to create miracles in your life. And, you know, it comes from this place of helping myself to heal from eating disorders and trauma and drugs so that I could go out and help the world to heal. So I have this like crazy story of how I healed my life so that I could take this work out into the world. I was homeless in 2009, and by 2015, I built an international organization that helps people. So
I love it. That's why we connected so well when we were in Jamaica at Hedo. Hedonism 2. And it was so much fun. We still haven't done our shows about that yet because we just can't seem to get on the same wavelength. Can you tell us a little bit about this Intuitive Intelligence Academy? Tell, what does it do? Who is it for?
Absolutely. So the Intuitive Intelligence Academy is, it's a place for you to go so that you can really start, if you're on a journey and learning to engage yourself in a new way. So we're at a crux right now in the place where people are so sick of the patriarchy. They're so sick of learning how to do things. They're stuck because of COVID, you know, all these things. And this is a place where you get to tap into your own intuitive intelligence, your inner soul and your essence, so that you can learn how to really heal the shit that's kept you stuck all of your life. So like reprogramming your brain, understanding how to really understand what your intuition is telling you and connect deeper into your soul. And what that does is it helps you to have better health, more wealth, deeper love, heal from trauma, and really experience the this, I believe, like this conscious revolution that we are in, because, you know, we went through the information age, we've had the golden age, we've had all of this, but we are in the midst now, and you'll see the biggest shifts in the next, I believe, like 50 years, where we're moving into vibrational medicine and into what I call consciousness medicine. That's what we teach, is consciousness medicine and quantum healing, and into learning how to move through things, not just from a place of emotional intelligence, which has been really big in the last 10 to 20 years, right? And psychology, but how to take these on a deeper level so that we can self-heal. Because we literally have within our own bodies the ability to heal ourselves, literally from physical illnesses, mental illnesses, and trauma. I've worked with people that have healed everything from stage 4 cancer to endometriosis to paralyzation from strokes to things like PTSD. I've worked with trafficking victims, the Marines, you know, different things like that, where you have these opportunities. So we offer these classes and courses and retreats and events that use innovative brain science and heart intelligence, quantum mechanics, and these ancient wisdom traditions to really help people to heal. So they kind of call me like the female Tony Robbins, except spiritual, right? Like I get on stage and I walk people through healings and you'll see them transform right in front of your eyes and, you know, have this like massive transformation. And it's for people that are like, maybe they're not seeking spirituality, but they're seeking something different. They're just like, I just don't know what the hell I'm doing with my life anymore. Or that maybe they have a decent life, but they're like, I want to create something better. And I just keep hitting this glass ceiling and going back to the same thing. And the glass ceiling, and it's because of our patterns from our childhood and the way that our brain works and our energy around us and our environment that are creating these this stuckness.
I love that, this stuckness. I get a lot of people in the office who are stuck, and it's, they don't understand how to move forward, and that's why they come to therapy, but you're healing them in a different way. And I love that. What happened in your life to get you to this point that made you start this academy? And I mean, this is my favorite part, because this is the wildest story I've ever heard in my damn life, and I'm not even going to try to sugarcoat it.
Well, I had a lot of stuff. So I'll start out with, because, you know, being someone that's a psychologist, and we actually train and work with psychologists and psychiatrists all over the world and partner with them because I believe that it's a great partnership, right? But I started out as the ACE score, right? Adverse Childhood Experiences, which is this test that was developed by psychologists that says there's these 10 questions. And in these 10 questions, if for every one that a child under the 18 says yes to, they say that your the amount of trauma that you have, your eating disorders and, you know, going into drugs and all these different things like exponentially grows. Well, I was a 10 out of 10 by the age of 10. So I had ever experienced sexual trauma. I had lost a parent. I had gone without food. I had, you know, like you name it, I was that. I'd been abused. I'd done all, you know, all of the things that I had experienced, and I experienced that by the age of 10. Well, at that young of an age, when you start to experience these things, it creates patterns, experiences, beliefs, all of these different things in your brain and then in your physical body, because your body attracts the emotions. And so I was suicidal in my early teens, then I was brutally raped at the age of 17. And so by the time I got into college, although I was a super high achiever on the outside, right? Like graduated top of my class from high school, graduated summa cum laude from Ohio State, but I was a self-mutilator. You'd find me in closets with bite marks up and down my arms. I was I had an eating disorder. I was 111 pounds at 5'11". You know, all of these things that were showing up in my life. I got married and pregnant in college, like all of the things that, you know, and that. So by the time I got out of college, I was then divorced. within a year of getting out of college, I was divorced, had lost my six-figure job that had gotten straight out of college because of 9/11, and I became a drug trafficker. You know,
that's the part that gets me every time. What any
person does, because they're super smart, right? And don't know what to do with their lives after all of this stuff. So I ended up spending the next 3 to 4 years of my life trafficking drugs. And what the difference between dealing and trafficking is dealing is something you do out of your home that's like kind of small, and maybe this trafficking is it means that you're crossing state lines, country lines, things like that. So I was literally trafficking drugs from different parts of the world, and created this insane organization where I was doing this kind of work. And I woke up one day and my daughter was about 5 years old, and I was having problems walking up and down the stairs. I couldn't breathe because I was also doing as much drugs as I was trafficking. And I had a deviated septum. My nose was bleeding every day. I was in absolute pain. And I found out that I was on the top of the DEA list, and that I was in a lot of trouble if I kept going. And my daughter saved my life at that point in time. They saved my life because it was them that made me walk away. I decided at that point that I was either going to go to prison or I was going to die, and I would not do that to my child. And so I walked away from that experience in 2004. And in the next 5 years, I left, I moved to Florida, I got a real job, right? I was like, oh, I got a real job. You know, I did all of the things that society told me were the things that you're supposed to do to, you know, to have this life, this thing. But within 5 years, I had a girlfriend, I was still drinking a lot. I was I'd gotten into car accidents. I was sick. I was, you know, my life was still a freaking chaotic mess. It was a chaotic mess. And in 2009, I came home one day to my girlfriend had left me. I had an eviction notice on my door, and I had been fired from my job all within 6 months.
Oh,
and
wow.
So I kind of had my coming to Jesus moment. Like what they call the dark night of the soul. I literally dropped to my knees and I was just like, what do I do now? Like, I did everything that they told me I was supposed to do, right? Like, I was doing what normal people normally do. That echelon of the people all stuck in the middle that are following the rules of life, saying this is how we're supposed to live our life. I got the job, I got the, you know, like all these things. And yet I ended up homeless, and I spent the next year living out of my car and bumming people's couches and, you know, doing this and trying to figure out my life. And when I dropped to my knees at that moment, when I got that eviction notice, I said, I don't know what else to do. And I just surrendered. I said, I have to ask for help. And actually, I'm writing my next book right now that's going to New York Times. It's called Chuck It in the Fuck It Bucket. And it's about the process of surrender that I learned that started that day, because it was understanding there. And then the magic that started to happen in that next year, even though I was homeless, of the right signs being put in front of me, the people telling me where to go. And so within the year, I went from homeless to going to school at the Institute for Integrative Nutrition, and I became a health coach, and I moved in with my new girlfriend. And I started on that journey to healing my own life. So I was healing my body physically from all of the trauma that mm-hmm. I had experienced, both through drugs and alcohol and you know, all the things that I'd done to it. I went completely holistic. I'd also been a competitor, so I'd screwed up my hormones from competing, you know, like all of these things. I did that. And then as I started to do that, I started working on a deeper level into this other work, and I started working with clients, and my clients started having instantaneous healings. They started having these miraculous experiences. And it's because I had studied and I was a scientist, I started looking into what am I doing? Because it's not health coaching, mm-hmm. because that's what, you know, if health coaching is all about food and stuff, and yeah, I'd give them a little bit of food advice, but we'd go in and do deeper. We were doing like NLP, and we were doing spiritual psychology, and we're like, you know, and I started to discover and went into studying more. I studied quantum physics. I studied neuroscience. I started getting, you know, going in and getting, where now I have over 20 different degrees and certifications and all sorts of interesting things from all over the world on these different processes that helped people. And so from 2011 to 2016, I built these programs and these experiences that and these courses that were helping people to heal at a deeper level. And that's when I came up with the intuitive intelligence work, and then after that came the quantum healing. And it's just kind of been a layering. So 2015, we went international, and I started speaking all over the world, and I've spoke at conferences and events for up to 2,000 people, and have been to 39 countries since 2017, and have helped over 8,000 people at this point.
So you've said it many times, and I want to just, what is quantum healing?
Ah, what a beautiful and great question, because I think that so many people are like, what is this stuff?
What is it?
Quantum healing is where we use visualization and emotional experiences and the subconscious programming to take the client, the student, whoever that is, down through the layers of their biology and in the body beyond the atomic level, where illnesses and disease can be viewed as waves of energy instead of a solid substance. So, what does that mean? Okay, we are all told that matter exists, right? That mm-hmm. that this phone is solid, mm-hmm. but my body is solid. But if you take away all of the empty space and energy in our bodies, everything about us would fit on the pin of a needle. So literally, we are energy in motion, which is emotion. Our whole bodies are energy. So when you go to a doctor will give you a pill, or a doctor will give you something to do that, but they're not going to the core root of whatever the experience was that started it. So when we do quantum healing, we're actually using the quantum field energy in waves,
okay,
at an atomic level to heal the body. And that we do that through things such as emotion, right? Because emotions are energy. Knowing that our emotions get trapped in our body, we do that through learning how to use the field and through becoming the wave and becoming the energy. So it's resonance and frequency, vibration. Everything is vibration. So we actually are literally teaching people how to vibrate at a different level, because when you, because what we know to be true is that when you resonate at a certain frequency, then your body will be at that frequency. So this resonance is what creates the healing in your body. And so we actually teach people that process so that they can self-heal.
That,
and it maximizes their body's capacity to heal.
Okay. I am highly, highly intelligent. I get this. Dumb that down for me.
Absolutely. Okay, so I say it like this in a different way. We all have trauma, judgments, karma, things that are stuck in us that we created or had experiences of from before. Mm-hmm. Those things create illness in the body, right? They either create mental illness or physical illnesses, or they create shitty situations in your life where you can't create what you want, or you can't make money, or right, because we've created patterns in our life from our old experiences. What we do with the quantum field and quantum healing is we go back and we call it recoding memories. We literally recode the body and the memories that have created the situation that we're in. In the quantum field, time and space, like time is a linear thing that only exists in your brain. But they have proven through quantum physics that all things exist right now. So if the past is still happening right now as much as the future, then you can actually change the past. So what we do is we can go in and we can change the past. We can change somebody's experience. And when you change that experience, it actually heals. And let me give you an example, because this might help. When I was in Australia in 2019, during one of my Quantum Miracles retreats, we had a woman who had a stroke about a year ago, a year previous to that, and had half of her face had been paralyzed. Mm-hmm. I was walking her through a process that was taking her back into her childhood. She was going back to her teenagers when she had an experience with a boyfriend that had completely created an emotional block within her. When we went back in and recoded that memory, so we changed the memory in her mind, because the mind processes through pictures. Mm-hmm. And so we are able to actually change the picture and create a new memory. When we did that, her face literally healed right in front of us, and it never went back. And wow. So that's how much emotions are trapped in your body and memories are trapped in your body that are creating disease.
That is amazing. How do you combat those who say this is all bullshit?
How do I have the science behind it. So that's the key is because the science backs the brain waves, because I can show you how the brain waves work differently, how the heart variable rates work differently, like all of the things that are happening that actually make it happen, right? Mm-hmm. And we've worked with thousands of people. My mentors have worked with thousands and thousands and thousands of more people, right? And quantum physics is not woo-woo. Like, quantum physics is for real. Mm-hmm. If you don't, just because you don't understand quantum physics, it is a proven fact that quantum physics exists, right? It is more real than Newtonian physics. Newtonian physics, which says that we have gravity and that matter exists, is actually debunked. And they know that now, right? Because that what everybody thinks to be true is not. And so there's scientific proof and journals. And I've actually worked with CEOs. I've worked with scientists. I've worked with, right, all of these people that are the skeptical ones. Mm-hmm. I'm the one that says, if you're skeptical, come, because I'll show you. Because I said, if you've tried everything else, try this, right? Because I know, and I love, as a scientist and as studying science myself, I believe in the science behind it, even though science is only 300 years old, you know, right? Mm-hmm. Compared to what this other work that we've been doing.
Wow. So yeah. Who can benefit from this?
Anybody can really benefit from it, because there's two different things that we do. Like, the flip side of healing yourself is the fact that, like, right, manifesting is such a buzzword these days, but it's like, mm-hmm. creating the desires that you want. Once you heal your shit, you'll create more of what you want. And so, you know, my favorite people that I work with, you know, that, well, my, that my corporation or my company now works with, because I rarely work with people myself anymore, is I've worked with sexual trauma and, you know, energies like that. But we've had people that have healed cancers, and we've had people that have healed, you know, back issues. I had a woman that came to our conference in 2019 who could barely walk and was having, was on disability because of her back issues, who now runs marathons, right? Like, and it was all emotionally stuck energy that was in her back and stuff. So there's this beautiful thing that it's not for everyone, right? Because, you know, but it is a wonderful compliment to things. It's, and I know for a fact you don't have to believe in it to make it work, but if you're going to learn the work for yourself, it's better. You're not going to do it if you, right? You know, if you do that work. But what I know is that there, you know, anybody can benefit from this type of work. We work with a specific crowd, but over, like I said, over the next 50 years, people that are super skeptical about this now, this will be something that everybody will be seeing. It is, you know, it's just like the germ theory. You know, the guy that created the germ theory ended up being murdered. You know, he was put in jail and sentenced to death for telling people to wash their hands before they delivered a baby after doing surgeries, because all the babies were dying, right? The germ theory, it took years for them to adopt germ theory, mm-hmm. you know, and the idea that you had to wash your hands and things like that. The same thing is with this. There's going to be a lot of people that say it's not real or they don't believe it and stuff, but mark my words, pay attention, because it's coming.
So I get to work with a lot of people who are struggling sexually, mm-hmm. and either it's because of sexual trauma, either it's because of sexual disappointments, all kinds of stuff. What are some of the things that they can do to help them tap into that vibration, that energy, and help them overcome some of those things?
One of the things that I know about people that have had sexual trauma or issues in sexual is a couple of things are shut down in their bodies. Usually they're the heart chakra area, right? So the center of the heart. And then also our second chakra, which is the sacral chakra, which is right where, you know, usually most of your trauma comes into that second area, which is your place of creativity. And so what we teach people is how to open up. So it's breathing exercises that raises the energy from your blocked chakras and opens up the heart so that it can connect into the brain again. Because right now those things are not connected to your brain, and so your brain is signals to your body that there's fear or trauma or triggers or things like that. So what we do know is that the heart has a brain on it. It's called the heart brain, and it has 40,000 special neurite cells, and it actually controls our cranial brain. And our cranial brain then controls our genes, which then controls our body, because our genes are a blueprint, and each gene creates over 3,000 different types of proteins. And from those proteins is whether your body creates a trauma or you know, a disability in the body or something like that, or whether it creates healing. And so going on a deeper level from just the cognitive or from working with the brain and developing the heart and healing that heart and connecting is called coherence. Connecting and cohering the heart and brain together actually sends what's called afferent waves. And it sends waves from the heart up to the brain that then can then communicate with the rest of the body. So with someone that's had that kind of trauma, then what we do is we also want to even go deeper and work with that sacral chakra and literally connect the energy lines, because we have what's called cerebral spinal fluid that goes all the way up our spine. And that is actually an energy that goes straight into our pineal gland. And when we connect that cerebral spinal fluid and have that energy flowing up and into that pineal gland, it will heal your body. And so we teach people how to move that and how to help it to go so that it opens up the energy in your body, and that will actually help you to heal. And so it's breath, it's meditation, it's getting into the body, right? So many sexual trauma people are also, they're escape artists. Mm-hmm. They don't live in their bodies. Right? They're like, I don't want to be in my body.
Yeah.
And so like even like touching and energy, right? And getting into the body, like we talk a lot about embodiment in our work. So quantum healing sounds like it's all like this out here stuff, but no, you have to embody the work into your body so it heals. So like getting into that space is really powerful.
Ladies, are you ready to take your intimacy to the next level? Head over to our website to find out about relationship, intimacy, and sex counseling.
And gentlemen, are you needing a little bit more? Join us at stephanieandfox.com to learn tips on how to communicate with that special someone and ignite that flame.
Now, let's get back to the show. You've talked a lot about meditation. Mm-hmm. What about meditation works? What about it makes it so powerful?
So meditation, I think, has a really interesting bad rap in some kind of ways, because everybody says meditation means that I have to sit in lotus position on the ground and like get really quiet for a really long time and not think. But really, meditation is about becoming aware. It's about noticing. It's about opening to things and then allowing for space for something new to show up, right? We have created, like say you're a 35-year-old woman and you're living in this body. By the time you're 35 years old, 95% of everything that you do in your life has been programmed in you and you're living on automatic control. So all of these things, so only 5% in you, and 5% of that is, you know, is you trying to change those, that programming and change those things, but that 5% isn't gonna overtake that 95%. What meditation allows us to do is to start to break some of that programming, to stop the incessant voices in our head that are repeating over and over again that say these things to us, that allow us to focus on an awareness of something new or something different and have space to find, you know, some peace. Like I can remember a time in my life when it was a huge aha moment for me when somebody said, they said to me, I was like, I just want peace. I just want peace. And they're like, well, have you ever had that? And I was like, no. They're like, how do you think you can find something you've never had?
Ooh, and that I was like, so powerful.
Yeah. And I was like, aha, I can't. There's no way. You can't source something you don't have an experience of or don't know how to do, right? So I literally had to go find what sources of peace so that I could start to experience that. And one of the way I started for me was yoga, was one of the things that I started doing that allowed me to be, you know, to find that little bit of break. And that led me into the meditation, that led me into that. But meditation could be walking outside and staring at beautiful flowers and allowing yourself to be aware of them and noticing the beauty of that, right? It can be something as simple as that. It can be staring at a flame and allowing yourself to like be brought into that. We teach quantum meditations and we teach probably 30 different types of meditations and stuff, but it doesn't have to be something difficult. We're looking for a way to be aware of the shit that you're thinking and the things that are coming into your head. If you sit and you notice the thoughts that are coming in and they're all really negative and crappy and stuff, that's an awareness, and you let it go. And then you say, okay, I have an awareness of all this crap that I'm doing. How can I start to shift that? How can I start to have that happen? And it opens a door to something new. And then you could go deeper into other types of meditations.
I know for me, when I try to meditate, my ADHD brain does not shut off. And I've tried every technique that I can think of, but also, again, I meditate, usually I lay down on my back and, you know, get in a comfortable position and I try, but then it just goes crazy. So I like how you just said to stare at a flame. When we feel those feelings and we know that there's shit coming up, how do we process it? How do we deal with it using your theory?
So the key is to not process and deal with it, is to have it and let it go, right? While you're in a meditation, while you're in a meditation. Now, outside of the meditation, now that you know these things are coming up, there's you know, work with your therapist, do quantum healing, do what I call emotion coding, right? There's a peace process. So one of the things that I notice with people when things come up is they either want to stuff it back down and ignore it, right? Or they obsess over it. And then you can actually, when you send loving energy to that thing that is showing up for you, and you stay with it and send it love and follow it around wherever it goes in your body, it's like a flame that has oil underneath it. Eventually the oil is going to run out and the flame's going to go. But what most people don't do is that they're like, I don't want to deal with that, and they ignore it and stuff it down. So then it becomes something that's underneath there, that's always there, that's then running your programming. And instead, if we face that with ourselves, like I was an angry person, And even after I got into this work and I was like, I'm spiritual and doing all this, I called it frustrated. Mm-hmm. I'm frustrated. I'm not angry, right? But anger can be a really powerful thing. You can use anger as a fuel, but you've got to transmute it after that and then transmute it into something better. Allow that to be a fuel that transmutes you into action, right? Anger can be a great way to start action, but then you can't hold on to that anger. And one of the things that we teach people, or what we help people to do, is get to a state of neutral. A lot of people talk about high vibe or getting into a state of like gratitude and happiness and stuff, but depending on what level you're at or where you're at, getting to neutral is the key. Then mm-hmm. you can work on that, right? I'm in a place now where I have gratitude, I call it traumatude. I have gratitude for all of my trauma. I have this incredible story of when I realized I had finally arrived. And so I can have gratitude, but most people are like, fuck gratitude, I can't get there. You know, I want to, I need to just get to neutral. So they can learn how to create an emotional balance in the body so that you're not getting triggered all of the time. Through this experience. And then after that, you can work on getting to something greater and the happiness and the gratitude. Mm.
You've mentioned something a few times. You said that peace, how can you know what peace is if you've never felt it before? Mm-hmm. And I talk about this over and over and over and over and over with couples, is how can you have a good relationship if you've never had one before? If you didn't have that template or that model. If we think back, most of our trauma begins when we're in our formative years and we're in our attachment phase and all of that fun stuff, and our parents are either there for us or they're not. They're either attentive or they're neglectful. And we begin to feel those attachments, but we also begin to see how people love, how people interact with each other, and we learn from that. So for those of us, me included, who don't have a good template and are just trying to figure this shit out and doing it all wrong, I'm sure, in all of the different ways. I mean, I know how to coach and how to therapeutize people, but how can I heal that with quantum physics or meditation or any of that? How can I have the relationship I want and get through and past all of my abuse and neglect and trauma?
Well, there's a couple of different processes that we use, and one is understanding that we all have an inner child that's running our stuff. Mm-hmm. Right. And you can actually go in and give that inner child the parenting and the love that you never had. And when you go and do that, it will literally change the way that you experience. And again, in the quantum realm, since everything happening now, we can go back to our experiences of childhood and work with that young child, have that young child grow up on a different timeline, so that although the event that you experienced, you have a memory of it, or you know that the event actually happened, but you can change the way that your body and your mind react to the memory, because you're creating a new memory or an image that is healing that. That's one way, and working with that inner child. We also do a lot of working with the parents. We have this incredible process where we sit you down at a dinner table with your parents, for like when you were a kid, mm-hmm. and we get to have an experience of getting into the brain and the back compartments of the parents, and understanding where they were coming from, so that you actually get to have an aha moment or realization of where your patterns are coming from and how your parents actually loved you, and the things that you don't notice, that types of things like that we have created in these patterns. And when we start to do this, what happens in our brain, because the goal is to rewire the brain and shift the energy centers, is this step-by-step, this work and these different things and rewriting our past allows the brain's synapses to change and start to heal, and you start to wire new pathways, and those new pathways will then change the relationships that you have in the future. It will change the things that you've had. I've had several students and clients that have come through our programs that have had, you know, horrible relationships with their parents, or, you know, are living in bad relationships right now, who then come out of doing that work and end up finding the loves of their lives and getting remarried, or healing the relationships with their parents, or, you know, doing things like that. And so there's another process that we use is called sourcing. And so sourcing in the quantum field, we have access to the collective consciousness. And so what that means is that it, like if you ever heard of like the 100th monkey syndrome or anything like that, where we're all connected within this field to each other, mm-hmm. through this blanket, and we have access to that. We don't know that we have access to that, but when you go to an event and you ask people certain questions, like 90% of the room will raise their hand. Is that thought their own, or is that thought something that is part of the culture that they came in, right? There's this cultural collective consciousness, there's all these things. Mm-hmm. You can tap into that source of wisdom for yourself and actually source loving energy, source, you know, a good relationship, source those types of things through other people's experiences that you never had, right? So I might not have had this experience, but there are people out there that have, right? And so, like, look around your world and say, who's had the experience that I want to have, right? Who's had that type of experience, and how can I connect into their systems and their beliefs and how that raised them, so that I can then source that into my own system.
When you started talking about the inner child, I immediately teared up. I'm mm-hmm. fighting back, because I do know, and I don't get very personal. I mean, I get personal, but this is just, you know, inner stuff that goes on. But that inner child, mine is still hurting. Mine is still very raw. And so just hearing you say that, I immediately teared up, and I'm like, okay, be professional. Stop. You can't do this right now.
I tear up all the time, and I stare it from stage. So can I tell you what to do with your inner child so you can do that tonight?
Yeah, please.
Okay. So I'm going to walk you through a small process to find out how old she is, okay?
Okay.
And then that's it. So I want you to just close your eyes for a moment and just breathe deep. And so that little one is there in your experience, and I want you to just with the parts of you that know how, just start to notice the timeline that is your life that stretches before you, and just notice where your future is and where your past is.
Okay.
Okay, and so I want you to turn towards your past. And I want you to just start to walk along that timeline, and I want you to just keep going until you run into that little one. Just notice her. See who she is, and just kind of get an idea or a sense of how old she is and what's happening around here. What do you notice? And
it's odd, because I'm seeing an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Okay, so we want to go to the youngest one to start with. So okay. We'll start with the 5-year-old. Okay. Mm-hmm. Great. So what I want for you to, and I'm not going to walk you through the whole process now, so you have her because you're a psychologist and mm-hmm. you know some of the, what I want you to do is, now that you have a vision of her and what she looks like, you can open your eyes. What you're going to do tonight and for like the next 3 to 4 or 5 days is you're going to imagine she's one of your children. You have kids?
I do. I have two. I have a 21 and a 15.
Okay, so now you have a 5-year-old that's at home with you. She's gonna go to the grocery store with you. She's gonna hang out. You're gonna buckle her in their seat. You're gonna, all of those things. She's going to be there with you as an extension, and I want you to talk to her. I want you to tell her you love her. I want you to ask her questions and allow her to answer. Now you can say it out loud if you want, or you can say it within yourself and imagine, but I want you to really visualize and see her sitting with you, tucking her into bed tonight at night. And what's gonna happen as you treat her like you would have treated your 5-year-old and give her that loving feeling over the next few days. I've had people take 1 or 2 days, and I've had people that take up to 7 days, that she'll eventually be like, yo, I'm good, thank you, peace out, and she's gonna go play. And she will feel loved. And you know, and she'll know that everything's okay. And you know, you can talk to her about that. You know, thank you so much for protecting me all of these years and being a part of my experience. But I've got this. I'm the adult now. I don't need you to protect me anymore. I don't need you to be there and run these patterns, because we can go in and look and find out which patterns in your life she's running. And mm-hmm. you know, like I do this whole process and all that kind of stuff. But we don't need to actually know those things. We can just say, hey, and then as she decides that she's ready to go, what's going to happen is when she's ready to go, you're going to start to notice things in the next week or two after that start to shift in your life, because she's no longer running the program.
It's so interesting that you say that we're talking about this, and that's because you know, I've had lots of tragedy over the last 4 or 5 months. Hell, even this past week has kicked my ass, which it is what it is. but I was told that I revert back to a childlike behavior. And so I was just told that yesterday, that when I get into this traumatic situation or when I'm feeling stressed or anxious or I'm feeling unsure, that I revert back to childlike behavior. And I was like, what the hell are you talking about? I am a 40-year-old strong woman who's running several businesses. I'm helping all of these people. Like, why would you think I reverted back to a child? And so It's interesting that you just said that 5-year-old is running stuff, because she is. And I never put it together until right now.
Yep, I just got chills. Yeah.
That is, it's been an interesting past couple of days. And so I definitely will talk to her. And I know that in therapy, I have clients bring in something if they have anything left over from that age. And I have them, you know, talk to it and become that age again and tell me what they need as a therapist. Mm. And so, but I've never done that to myself. It's so odd. As a therapist, I tell everybody what you can do, but I forget that I can do that for myself as well.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so powerful. And that's why for me, like, I have coaches and healers on staff and people that I work with on a continuous basis, because I must work on myself to be able to do the work that I do to help people, right? And there's many times where I'm teaching a process and being like, yeah, I should have been doing that. Mm-hmm. You know, and go back and even into my own work, and we'll go to one of my own students or somebody that has graduated that's now doing the work in the world and be like, yo, can you come do that with me now? Right? Like, it's fascinating.
Yeah, it is. And I learned so much from my clients. And I was a teacher for 10 years, and I learned so much from other people. But they'll say things about their relationship or how they're feeling about their open relationship and non-monogamy. And I'm like, ooh, God, I never thought about that. Let me write that down really quickly, because that is exactly how I feel. And they can put into words what I can't sometimes. And I think that is a huge benefit to people in our position, is that we listen to people, we learn from them, and we apply it to ourselves as well. We're not above trying to fix anything in with ourselves.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, in this work that I have done, like, I mean, I am not the same person I was obviously years ago. And even like you're talking about, like, you know, within the sexuality piece of it is like, I completely changed my whole life in 2019 from what I thought was my sexuality things. And it was from doing more of this work where I was able to shift and change to the person that I am today and my real me, because I let go of stuff that was allowing me to have judgments and things around certain ways of being in my life, you know?
Can you tell us a little bit more about that? What does that mean?
Absolutely. So I guess I'll tell you the piece of my story, because since this is about, you know, since you are sexual intimacy and, you know, that kind of thing is. So I was, for 15 years, I was solely with women. Mm-hmm. I was married to a woman. I dated only women, you know, and the more work that I did on myself from starting to do this work and through, you know, 2009 and up, the more I started to open up to new experiences. And one day I woke up, it was the end of 2018. I remember I was in Amsterdam. I had done some mushrooms and I was like, oh my God, I want to sleep with a guy. You know, I was like, I want to bang a dude. And I was like, oh my God, I was the craziest, like, cause I was like one of those LGBTQ full on lesbian, like, like hardcore into activism and all that kind of stuff. And so I had an existential crisis around this thing. Mm. You know, I was like, why do I want to sleep with a guy? What's going on with me? Right. And everything. And so it went on for 3 months. And then finally I just was like, screw it. I'm going to go do this thing. Right. And so I went onto a swingers website, which I belong to, and was like, okay, I'm going to find the hottest guy on here.
Yes.
And I did, and I invited him, you know, and I said, hey, you know, I met him at a bar, and I was like, listen, I'm a lesbian, and I just need to sleep with a guy. That's what I said, right? I was like, that's it. Well, I mean, fast forward, you know, February 2019, we're 2.5 years into this, and I am full-on pansexual. You know, I absolutely know that but I spent 9 months after that experience and 9 months of sleeping with this guy and other guys and stuff like that and hiding it from my whole community, and literally having like this crisis around what could be wrong with me that all of a sudden, you know, I don't want to tell anybody and stuff and all of these things, and you know, and thought that I was, my community was going to abandon me, all my lesbian friends and all this stuff. And and then I remember You know, I started just being open about it and sharing, and everybody was like, Melissa, don't you always say love is love? Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, yeah, of course. Well, doesn't that count? Love is love. And I was like, you know, right. Mm-hmm. And so it was like this learning process. And then I got deeper into this experience. And then the following year or later, it was that same year, and later in 2019, I was in Australia and I went to an event before my retreat. And they were talking about the laws of the universe, you know, and law number 13, which is the final law. And I literally sat there and I was like, laws of the universe, gone through that one. Every single one, I was like, I remember the moment that hit that one. I remember the moment I did that, like all these challenges in my life. And number 13 was this idea of non-binary. There is no gender, the souls and all that kind of stuff and everything. And that was my aha moment, that this person and this experience had been brought into my life to teach me the final law of the universe that I needed in my life to teach the spiritual work that I teach. And I was like, oh, holy crap, this is amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, and so now, you know, I'm in this space of I'm single, but I'm open to, you know, all sorts of different types of relationships, whether it's with a man or a woman or poly or a man and a woman, or, you know, a non-monogamous for sure, you know, like all of these things that I was like willing, like I didn't know before. Like, I mean, I had been non-monogamous previously in between relationships, but now I know that I'll always, like, I can't have a non-monogamous relationship, you know, I can't have a monogamous relationship, right? All of these things that completely shifted who I was at a core level around my sexuality, that I believe was from doing all this work, like mm-hmm. plain and simple. Like, so every area of my life changed, my finances, my business, my career, my health, you know, my sexuality, like all of these things shifted from this type of work for me. And I believe that I am my truest, most authentic self that I could truly be at this moment because of that.
Wow, that is beautiful. What kind, you've talked about the retreats. Tell my listeners how they can find out more. Where can they go to these retreats? Are you having them during this time because of the pandemic?
Well, it just announced today, literally, that our Quantum Miracles Retreat in Bali, which is something that we did every year, and we didn't do in 20, we did it in 2020. We actually got stuck in Bali.
Oh, I remember the story. Yes.
Yeah, I got stuck in Bali. Well, 2021, we did get to have one, but it's back on for 2022, at the end of March, because Bali opens back up on, here in like a week to international travelers. So we're going to start doing, cause I've done retreats in France and Australia and, Indonesia and Nepal, like right. All these different cool places in the world, plus in the United States. Mm-hmm. So we do these quantum miracles retreats, and we walk people through the actual processes, and we heal, and we work on all these cool things. So that just got announced today. Most of our information, like if you put my name is Melissa Binkley, or intuitiveintelligenceacademy.com. But if you use either of those in pretty much any of your social media sites, or just type in intuitiveintelligenceacademy.com on the website, or my name, melissabinkley.com, right, you'll get to me in any of those ways. We also have quantum-miracles.com, which is our other big thing. But through that kind of stuff, you can find ways to reach us and find out about our retreats and our courses and our programs and all of the fun stuff that we do.
I am very interested in going. I'm looking at the website now because I got to see that it was going to be released today, or it was released today. Didn't you put it on social media, right? Did I see that today?
Yeah, I just put it on social media. We do not have the event page up on the website, but it will be up soon.
Yeah. Yep. So I was like, yep. When you said that, I was like, I know this. Did I see this on social media? And I'm thinking that I would like to go. And you said it's in March of next year?
March 31st through April 4th. It's a 5-day retreat, and then we help you build, because I don't believe you should come to that side of the world for only 5 days. I stay for a month at a time, and so our clients and our students that come, we help build whatever around them, because we have, you know, our retreats are all inclusive, meaning that your organic food, your excursions, your healings, your healer, like everything is taken care of, included from the time you're picked up at the airport to the time that you finish. And so whether you want to come early and do things or stay late, we make sure and help give you all the access to help you to do that, because I mean, Bali is my second home. I know everything about the island. I celebrated my 40th birthday there and had people from all over the island and fireworks and stuff. So it is, and the island next to me, Lombok, is where is where we were purchasing for before COVID, where we were purchasing land to build our own retreat center. So that kind of stuff. So I know that area really well, and I've spent months and months and months and months there out of the year. So we, you know, create that experience and help people completely do that. And so you can come play with me over there, and I'll be there for a while.
I will, girl. You and when you say play, now come on.
Oh yeah.
Woo. Yeah. We did have some fun in Jamaica. I will say that it was such a fun experience.
It was such a fun experience
until the COVID thing. But that was a mess. That was a mess.
I had left right before that because I left before the end of the week, and I remember seeing your post and being like, oh, heck no.
Yes, and I thank you so much. You text us the whole way, and you were checking on us. You're just an amazing human, an amazing spirit, and I am so thankful that you were put into our lives. In Jamaica. It's just, and it was so random how we just met, but I don't believe anything's random at all. I believe everything happens for a reason.
There is no such thing as coincidence, mm-hmm. only synchronicity.
Oh man, that is so true. And of course, you and I both will talk to anybody about everything because we're just, that's our personality. So we bonded pretty quickly. We're like, hey, you look friendly. Yeah. You want to talk? You want to hang out? You want to play? So, but yeah, so I my mind is blown right now. I'm not even going to lie. I mean, my mind is blown about everything. We talked about this stuff in Jamaica, but we didn't really get into it. And it's just been such a treat having you and listening to your story, because you did tell me you were a drug trafficker in Jamaica, and I was like, this woman has lost her damn mind. But everything you say and everything, you know, it's all true. You have had that kind of life, and mm-hmm. you've learned from it, and you use your story to help others, and that's what makes everything so special about you. So tell our listeners one more time where they can find you.
Sure. So you can go to intuitiveintelligenceacademy.com. Or my name is Melissa Binkley. You can find that on all the social media websites and also Intuitive Intelligence Academy, or go to melissabinkley.com. Any of those ways will lead you right to me. And we also are on YouTube and Vimeo, and I have tons of free courses and classes and all sorts of, like, I have quantum meditations on YouTube. So, like, I literally, like, if you just want to be like, hey, you know, if you go to our website, you can actually click through and get to our YouTube and things like that. So you can kind of, you know, find something that you want to read more about or whatever, and take a journey without having to pay anything. So
yeah, I mean, I love that. Well, thank you for taking your time to talk to me, and it's just always a blessing to talk to you, chat with you, text you, anything. I feel so much better afterwards. Yeah. But
thank you.
Yes. So I mean, I don't even know how to end this thing. It was just, I don't even want to end it. I just want to keep going. Just, where are you? I'm flying to you. We're just gonna hang out for a week.
We should.
We probably should. We would definitely.
Let's talk about that offline.
Sure. Definitely. Yeah. Well, guys, thank you for tuning in and listening and learning from all of this. I do strongly suggest you check out her websites. This woman is just a treat, and I'm glad and thankful that I got to bring her to you guys. And again, thanks for listening, and as always, we are here to help. You are not doing this alone. If you need anything, don't forget to reach out. You can find us at stephanieandfox.com. You can call one of our hotlines. Whatever you need, we are here for you, and always remember that you're not fighting this battle alone. Good night, guys. Thank you for listening to our show. And remember, you are not in this alone, and we are here to help.
You can check us out at stephanieandfox.com and subscribe to all of our social media accounts to get free resources about evolving your intimacy.
Have a good night.
Have a good one.